Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church, welcome to Kensington Unitarians, a community created not just by those of you who walk through our doors, much as we love you all in the here and now, but it's also a community created across time and space by those who listen in to our podcasts in lands both far and near. It's a delight to think of people in Lewisham and Yorkshire, in Australia and Canada, Scotland and the United States, just some of the places that our podcast listeners have been in touch from recently. And to you, I say, who knows when you'll be listening to this message, but I hope it finds you well, and I hope it provides some food for thought, as the saying goes, some of the nourishment of the spirit that we all might be seeking this day. Our theme this morning is the balancing of good and evil, and in true Unitarian fashion, it won't be providing any ready-made answers, because of course ours is a spiritual exploration of your own designing. But I think we're all people who find value in exploring matters of the spirit, questions of life, in community with others. And that's what brings us here today. And before embarking on any journey, they say it's wise to check what we really need to bring along with us. There's no need, is there, to burden ourselves with unnecessary luggage. So Minister Mark Bellatini lists in this reading some of the oh-so-human ways of being that might be weighing us down this morning. I wonder if any of these ring a bell for you at the moment. Let's set it all down, you and me. The disappointments, little and large, the frustrations. Let's open our fists and drop them. The useless waiting, the obsession with what we cannot have, the pinwheeling worries which wear us out, the fretting, let's throw them down. The comparisons of ourselves with others, the assumptions we make, the unspoken, shelved anger, let's lay them down. The inarticulate suspicions, those creeping bits of self-doubt and self-pity, let's sink them all like stones. Like stones in the pool of this gift of silence. Let's drop them like hot rocks into the cool silence. And when they're gone, let's settle back gently and rest. Rest on the calm surface of silence. Let's feel ourselves supported in this still cradle of the new world, ready for anything. I light our chalice, this worldwide symbol of our Unitarian and Universalist community, to mark the spring equinox, which happens tomorrow morning, when day and night are of equal length here in the Northern Hemisphere. And the equinox is often seen as a time of balance, a point of balance. May it help us all to take opportunities like this to rebalance ourselves, to come back to centre, to the core of who we are. And may this rebalancing ripple outwards to all people that justice and good sense might prevail this day and all days. I ask you, how do we know what to do for the best in life? I wonder what your many ways of knowing what to do for the best are. This idea of how we make choices about our behaviour is a big question for everyone and throughout the whole of life. a lot of the choosing goes on inside us, doesn't it? Do you have that experience? A kind of conversation goes on inside me somewhere about pros and cons. And as I was planning this service, I remembered years ago being with a friend and her young son, Robbie, on a picnic in the countryside as part of the peace movement. Robbie, aged just 4, came running over to us at one point with a stick, which he really wanted to give to his mum. "Will you take this stick, please, mum?" he said. "It keeps wanting to be a gun." And he clearly got the idea that we were on a peace movement picnic and to have a stick be a gun wasn't appropriate. I wanted to tell this story of Theodore Parker. I don't know if any of you will know of him. He was a really famous Unitarian minister some 200 years ago. He became incredibly famous because he risked his life as an abolitionist in the States. He hid runaway slaves. He was a thoroughly all right human being. But he told the story of going to a pond one day, probably aged similarly to Robbie, 4 or 5, and he saw a little turtle. And he'd seen boys throwing sticks at birds, and he picked up a stick, and he thought that he'd hit the turtle. And then something stopped him. And he ran home and told his mum what had happened. And he said, "What was it that told me it was wrong to pick up the stick and hit the turtle?" And his mum explained conscience to him and said, "You know, some people will call that the voice of God. It's your inner sense of knowing what is right and what is wrong." And if Tyler and Dee had been with me now, I was just going to go on to remind us all of that teaching that you'll have read in the Bible. Jesus said it, but somebody called Rabbi Hillel said it much earlier. He was asked, "What is the one law that I must follow?" And the bloke who asked him said, "Don't give me any long lectures. Only tell me what you can say while standing on one leg." And so you can all try this at home, standing on one leg. Sonia, I need to come to the dance classes, don't I? Nia would help me with my balance. "Only do to others as you would wish them do to you." And that is one way to ask ourselves what to do for the best, not the only way. And it's up to the children's leader whether to just stay in today and just, or go home and make yourselves a cuppa and do what feels right for you, Nadia, this morning, as we're going to move into a time of prayer and reflection. I'm going to borrow with appreciation the American First People's term for the divine, the great mystery, the bringing together of all that is, the known and the unknown realms of existence. Let's focus on that sense of life as one, and ourselves as one element, one glorious individual element, that with all else that exists, forms the great mystery. Let's rest for a moment in the magnitude of such an image, spinning throughout the entire universe, the unimaginable vastness of all that exists in time and in space, infinite possibility. And as our planet spins in space, rotating around our sun, we've reached the annual time of the spring equinox here in Northern Lands. Let's give thanks for signs of spring all around us. Birdsong in the air. Sweet flowers brightening gardens. Oh, the blossom on trees. That sense of new growth. Perhaps we can harness this new energy to help us make progress in our own endeavours. And as we gather this day and consider the polarities of good and evil, may we find strength to bear witness to the extremes of human behaviour. Our ability as a species to do great wrongs as well as great rights. May each one of us find signposts in life, guiding us toward greater good. May we be compassionate and clear in our dealings with those who have wronged us. And may we fully know the light and the shadow that together make us who we are. And in a short time of shared stillness now, I invite you to align yourself with all that you hold sacred and to send your thoughts and prayers to people and places you know to be in need this day. And may we find ways to act upon our prayers for the greater good of all. Amen. I found this lovely blessing from the Celtic Christian Spirituality Network, and it's called A Lent Path of Blessing. And I think it's beautifully written. If you have a look at it, it's on this hymn sheet, and if you've got the big hymn sheet, it's on there just after the last hymn. And I was going to suggest that we read it together, but I wanted to emphasise that I don't always think that the things they're suggesting fasting from are bad necessarily. They're part of our lives, aren't they? And I think sometimes we need them. We certainly need to accept them in our lives. I'm not averse to a bit of bitterness myself, and an occasional complaint never goes amiss, surely. But so what I thought was, perhaps as we're reading, we might be thinking, okay, what have I got too much of in my life? What not enough? What needs rebalancing in your life this spring? Let's see how we go with reading this together. A Lent Path of Blessing. Fast from pessimism, feast on optimism. Fast from criticism, feast on praise. Fast from self-pity, feast on joy. Fast from bitterness, feast on forgiveness. Fast from idle gossip, feast on purposeful silence. Fast from jealousy, feast on love. Fast from discouragement, feast on hope. Fast from complaining, feast on appreciation. Fast from selfishness, feast on service. Fast from fear, feast on faith. Fast from anger, feast on patience. Fast from self-concern, feast on compassion for others. fast from discontent, feast on gratitude. Thank you. And there'll be a short spoken meditation, and then that will lead into a few minutes of shared silence together. And that comes to an end with a chime from our bell. So I invite you to find a place to be comfortable as best you can. Maybe set down anything that you don't need at this moment. And I invite you to allow your attention to turn inwards to your inner world. We're always aware of our physical sensations. You might even want to focus on those more, that sense of your body in a chair, feet touching the ground, your breathing guiding you to a place of stillness inside yourself. Perhaps focusing on the light of the candles or closing your eyes, whatever works for you. And I invite you to consider your inner landscape. How is your heart this morning? What are you dealing with? Are there things within that are ready to be let go of, to be cleared away? What might you need to welcome into your life at this moment? I invite you to spend these few minutes of silence and stillness as a way of considering what could be rebalanced in your life this spring. I've been standing up here on Sundays talking mostly about myself for the last 11 and a half years. And some of you poor souls have been listening to me all this time. And sometimes I get to listen to you when you share aspects of your lives with me. Yet how much do we know of one another? Even our closest friends and lovers, neighbours we've lived next door to for decades, shopkeepers who've served us over the years. There is an element of mystery in all of us, isn't there? There are unknown, unexplored places in all of our relationships. We'll never understand one another fully, nor even completely understand ourselves. And I've no idea if your own life has been touched in any way by anything that deserves the description of evil, one of the polarities we're exploring here at Essex Church this month as part of our monthly ministry theme, good and evil. Good and evil. These are extremes. And most of us, in our own behaviour, are muddling along somewhere in the middle for most of our lives. But if your life has been touched by what might be called evil, then please accept my apologies for blundering into sensitivities only you can comprehend. Some of you will remember that we hosted a powerful exhibition called The Forgiveness Project some years ago, which told the true life stories of people who dealt with dreadful occurrences in life and who had used the power of forgiveness to help them through these dreadful times. The project, the Forgiveness Project, has just launched a new exhibition which was on show at a London gallery last week. Do go and see it if you hear of it being shown near you. One of the people who tells their story as part of the Forgiveness Project is Marion Partington. She came and spoke at our service and left a copy of her book for the library. Those of you who were here then would remember she told the story of the disappearance of her sister Lucy in 1973 and how some 21 years later her family were told that Lucy had been murdered by Frederick and Rosemary West, who were also convicted of killing many other women. Marion wrote of this unimaginable experience in her book. And one of the most controversial parts of her writing was her realization that, for herself, that she could not fathom the evil of others unless she'd looked very deeply into the darkness within herself. On a retreat, she was disturbed less by the incredibly strong and deep sorrow that poured out of her than by the boiling up of an intense, murderous rage. And she becomes convinced that she must face that rage within herself, or she saw the particular danger that she would pass emotional damage on to the next generation. It's a powerful read. I highly recommend it to you. It would be good to pass that around, I think, and maybe have a conversation about her writing there. Now, most of us will not be called on to deal with the ghastliness that Marion Partington had to deal with. Yet I think we can learn from her experiences and her struggles to face the potential for wrongdoing in herself. And sometimes we're called as witnesses, aren't we, to humanity's record, both of great goodness and great wrongdoing. Do you remember how you felt when you first learnt about the Holocaust? I was 12 at the time, and hearing about the systematic killing of over 7 million people by the Nazi regime, mainly people from the Jewish communities of Europe, but also the disabled, people who are gay, academics, trade unionists, pacifists, people from the Roma community. I couldn't at first believe that such a thing could happen and that nobody stopped it. And then, of course, I started to ask the question, well, what would I have done in those circumstances? Could I have been brave enough to risk my own life to stand up against such a wrong? I think probably not. And when we think of extremes like good and evil, probably most of us would agree that the Nazis' final solution was indeed an example of evil in action. But though it stands alone as a fully recorded, ongoing series of acts of violence against identified groups, planned by a modern state in Europe and supported by law, in truth, the Holocaust is, of course, only one of many examples of humanity's thinking becoming so twisted that it believes wrong to be right. History provides so many other examples of genocide, where one group of people, often previously quite peaceable neighbours, can turn on another group and plan their destruction. Rwanda, Serbia, Cambodia, South Africa, Northern Ireland, the lands of Iraq and Syria and Yemen and Sudan in our current day. And then think of our own religious history, and the history of nonconformity in this country, and the torture and burning of heretics, often for simply the use of a different name for God, or for holding a Bible translated into another language, or the cruelty shown primarily to women regarded as witches throughout history. Now, most of us won't confront evil directly, but we will have to come to terms with its existence, or whatever words you choose to use to describe human potentiality to believe dreadful things and to cause great pain through cruelty and wrong thinking. Carl Jung's idea of the shadow self, the aspects of ourselves we find unacceptable and so we keep hidden. You know those parts of ourselves. Ever so often we get a glimpse, don't we, of our sharpness perhaps, or our meanness, or our judgments about others, or our propensity to bully a bit, or exaggerate, or lie. And the more hidden such aspects of ourselves are, the more psychic energy is taken up in keeping up the pretense. Then the more strong will our reactions be to others when we project outwards what we cannot admit in ourselves. We would all do well, particularly in the times we seem to be heading into, to keep an eye on our bullying tendencies, our inner fascists, our convictions that we're right and that ours is the only way to view this world, our own inner terrorists who must have our own way at whatever the costs. And of course, anyone who starts on this kind of path of heightened self-awareness will start to realize that even our goodness is worthy of fuller consideration. Because any human impulse has its shadowy aspects. And as we explore the complexity of our motivations, I do believe we can become rounder, fuller characters, thoughtful about how we're making our choices in each and every moment, aware of our great potential for kindness and cruelty and all that lies between. How we choose to live and how we make decisions and the small actions that make everyday life, all of these matter greatly. Because by our choices, we are constantly rebuilding our world and rebalancing our lives. And that, I think, is the work of a lifetime. Amen. All life is here, here in the human heart and in the simple interactions of everyday life. So may we, in the week ahead, make choices that move our world a little more towards the good, towards greater justice, greater love, greater understanding, balancing and rebalancing as the earth spins ever onwards, and we live our precious lives upon this spinning rock, our home, here with our people, all people. Amen. Go well and blessed be.